Okay, we're picking up with the Gemara on Nentes Amud Beis. We'll pick up from four lines from the bottom, the Amar Rabbi Zera, the end of the line over there. Again, the Gemara had a stira. The Gemara said that it implied from our Mishnah that it's only midrabanan to wear a ring that has no seal on it. The Gemara learned that if it has a seal, it's going to be an Isser Daraisa to wear it because it's a burden. But the Gemara quoted a steer with regards to Tumah V'Tahara. In Tumah V'Tahara, we say that when it comes to Tachshite Nashim, that this is considered ornaments of a woman, and it considered a ring, whether it has a seal or whether it doesn't have a seal. So it seemed to be that it would be considered an ornament and not a burden. So why should there be, in the Gemara, why with Hilchos Shabbos are we assuming that it's considered a burden and it's not considered an ornament first? So the Gemara says, now Rabbi Zera says, Amar Rabbi Zera, the Amar Rabbi Zera, lo kasha Rabbi Nechemia ha Rabbanan. That our Mishnah that we're saying over here, that you, the inference you made from Mishnah, that is following with the Shita of Rabbi Nechemia. What does Rabbi Nechemia hold? So we're going to see. Rabbi Chena is going to hold that the Tumah status of a ring is determined on how the seal is. It's all about the seal. So accordingly, Rabbi Nechemia holds that when the question about a seal is if it's a burden or it's an ornament, it depends on whether the person who's wearing it will use, Rashi points this out, is going to be using the seal. And a woman barely doesn't use a seal because it's something, a seal was used for things that would be like signed for documents and business purposes. Back then, they never worked at all. So the ring is considered for her a burden. However, Rabbanan have a different, they have a different definition where what's considered a burden over here. They hold that the Tumah status of a ring is determined just how the ring is made. What's the ring made out of them? Not whether it has a seal or not. So they're gonna hold that the question of whether the ring is a burden or not is based on the fact that the ring itself, we're not focusing on the seal. And since the woman wears rings as an ornament, it doesn't matter if it has a seal or not. Even if it has a seal, that would be considered a ornament for her, and it's not going to be considered an Isser D'oraisa for her to carry it out. So the Gemara now says, the Sanya, as we see in the Braisa. The Braisa tells us that if the ring were made of Matekas, Hisha Matekas, Vechosma Shel Agva Tmea, the ring was made of metal and its seal was made of this coral material, then it's going to be impure. Why? Because the primary component is of the ring is metal, a material that can become impure. Okay, so he shall almog vechos mashal matechas Torah. However, if the ring was made of coral and its seal is made of metal, it's going to be pure because it cannot become impure from there. Rabbi Nechemia Metame, how Rabbi Nechemia holds that it's going to be impure. Why? Shahai Rabbi Nechemia Omer betabas halach vechosma. So Rabbi Nechemia said, because with regards to the ring, we're going to follow the seal. If the seal were made of material that can become impure, then the entire ring is going to become impure. And if it was made of material that can't become impure, then the entire ring is going to become pure. That's what Rabbi Nechemia holds. So, and then he points out that the same is going to be true when it comes to a yoke, that we go halach achar simanam, simlonav, that when it comes to a yoke, we're going to go after its rods, that they used to put these rods in the yoke in order to fasten it to the animal, so the component material of the rods is going to determine whether or not the yoke is going to become impure or not. So now the Gemara continues the Rabbi Nechemia's statement. When it comes to a kolav, bekolav, a hanging board, is machlokas exactly what the matzias of this kolav is. Rashi seems to understand that it has this column of hooks hanging from merchandise. Others say that the hooks were for butchers to use to cut meat. And the Aruch says, different pshat, he says that it was this wooden ornament that they had metal nails to hang from the necks of camels. At the end of the day, it's something that they used to hang something from. So the Gemara says, we go after halach achar mas morosav. We go after its nails, that which objects are hanging from. When it comes to besulam, when it comes to a ladder, then you go halachar shlivosav. You're going to go after its rings. It's rings in it. Be'arsa, when it comes to a large scale, then we're going to go after its change, not the base plates you would have thought otherwise. And Chachamim hold, everything goes, whatever's supporting this item is going to be the ikar with regards to Tuma and Tara. So the legal status of that is going to be determined by the component of the vessel that's most significant in the function. That's what the Chachamim seem to hold. So now, according to Rabbi Nechemia, we see that there's a distinction, even when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, between a ring of a seal and a ring without a seal. In his opinion, what do we see? That the seal is the main purpose of the ring. The Rabbanan, though, they're going to disagree. They hold that when it comes to Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara, the essential part of the ring is the ring itself and not the seal. So therefore, they're going to say that a person is allowed to go on their Shus Rav on Shabbos, even with a ring that has a seal, because again, it is a takshit, as we mentioned before. So now the Gemara says, Rava Amar, Rava says a different tarot over here. Let's stun him, Ketani. Let's stun him, Ketani means that we taught this disjunctively. So what is it? The Gemara uses this phrase when you're trying to compare two things. We report Hilchot Tumah V'Tahara and Hilchot Shabbos. So when you say Let's Tadam Ketani, you could say that two halachas aren't dealing in the same case. Each is talking about a different case. So that's exactly, the Gemara uses this Teretz often. So the Gemara is saying the same thing over here, that we're talking about two separate cases. Yesh Alachosam, if the ring has a seal, Tachshis the Ish, it's going to be considered an ornament of a man. In Alachosam, Tachshis the Ish, however, if it has no seal, then it's going to be an ornament for a woman. So that the Mishnah and Kalim is going to agree with us. And the Mishnah and Kalim is going to say that when it comes to a ring with a seal, it's not going to be considered an ornament for a woman, and she would be chayv midareisa for wearing it on Shabbos. Okay, now then Tosfos Rashi point out that according to this, then that Rava is going to disagree with Rabbi Zeira's extension with the machlokas Rabbi Nachman and Chaim when it comes to the law of Shabbos. He's going to hold that both the Chachamim and Rabbi Nachman agree when it comes to the Shabbos that a woman who wears a seal is not the takshit and it's going to be usher midareisa. Then we have a third tirat of here of Nachman Yitzchak Amar Tuma Shabbos Karamis. Rav Nachman says no. You at least Rava was trying to say that the cases are different. Rav Nachman Yitzchak now is rejecting in Gantz in the comparison. He's saying, what are you comparing? When Hilchos Tuma Hilchos Shabbos, there are apples and oranges with regards to this. When we have a specific, when it comes to Tuma, we see Kli Maisa Amar Achmana, that the Torah tells us what makes an item susceptible to Tuma if it's considered a Kli, if it's considered a vessel, if it's made as a vessel, a Kli. So when it comes to a ring that has the seal on it, it's going to be a susceptible to Tumah because it's a kli, even if it's not necessarily an ornament for a woman. It doesn't matter. It's still a kli. Even if so she's wearing it, it's still mekabel Tumah. However, Shabbos, when it comes to Shabbos, b'shum ma'aser rachmana, what is the whole, what do we care about? We've been saying this over and over. If it's a burden, if it's an ornament, it's mutter. If it's a burden, it's usher. So then the distinction is going to depend on what type of ring it is for a woman is wearing it. En alach chosim tashit. If it doesn't have an ornament on it, then it's going to only be Asr Midarabanan because it is a tachshit, it's an ornament, but it's something we're afraid she'll take off, but it's an ornament for it, so it's really Mutter Midaraisa. Yeshaleh Achosem Masri, but if it does have a seal, then she's not using it as jewelry, then it would be considered a Masri, it's considered a burden, and it's going to be Chayev Midaraisa. Well, he completely rejects the concept of that the fact that Tumah V'Tahara should be applicable to Hilchos Shabbos. There's no stira between the two Mishnayos. So now the Gemara continues with quoting the Hemshah of the Mishnah, V'lo b'machat she'ina nekuva. So also, a woman's not allowed to go out with a needle that's not pierced. The Gemara says, L'may chazia, what are you using this needle for? So what do we see? The Mishnah tells us that a woman who wears a needle is going to be only chayiv midarabanan. So that means that really it's a tachshit or it's something, it has some purpose, and it's only chayiv midarabanan because we're afraid of a side reason that she'll take it off. But what purpose at all? The chayiv should be chayiv midaraisa, the Gemara is asking over here. So if it's considered no function, then it should be something that you're simply just carrying. It's going to be a burden, and you should be chayiv midaraisa. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, no. Hoyel v'isha ogeres basa'ara. That the needle was used, they use this type of needle because a woman would use it to collect her hair that's coming out, she says, stuck, that it was like sticking out of her, she was wearing a hat, some type of hat on it, it was like sticking out, she would like use these needles to pluck them back in to under her hat so they don't stick out, So Gemara says, Amalei Abaye v'tavakib birist Torah. So then, if that's the case, it should be similar to this biris. Rashi describes this biris as something that sounds similar to like what a man wears, but it's something a woman wears to hold her stockings up and to make sure that their stockings don't fall down. So again, I don't know exactly the definition of what that means, but something like a belt that men wear for women. Betishrei, and a woman, and again, it's holding up her stockings. Betishrei, and it should be allowed to wear it on Shabbos, as you are when it comes to this birius over here. So the Gemara answers, no. Ella talk, meaning the Gemara says that really that's a good kasha. So Ella talk about Rav Abba Bar Nashi Kamei Rav Yosef. Hold the Isha Cholekas Basara. That needle has a different purpose. It's because a woman is using it to put in her hair to separate her hair. Apparently, like when this Rashi is in the middle of her hair, she would use it to comb out both sides of her hair. Again, I don't know woman's hair so much. I don't know exactly how that would work, but that's what the Gemara says is the purpose over here. So the Gemara says the Shabbos L'may Chaza. What is this use on Shabbos? Rashi assumes that combing your hair is Aser on Shabbos. Tosfos asks a kasha when the Gemara Nazir seems implied it's mutter, but they'll go with Rashi that at the end of the day, you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos, so then she wouldn't use this needle at all. She was not allowed to put it in her hair. So the Gemara says, Amarava, Tas Shel Zav Yesh La'al Rosha. No, this needle has a different purpose. It has a bar of gold and one of its ends. One end it was sharp and one end has a bar of gold, Rashi says. Bechol Cholekas Basa'ara. So during a weekday, what's she going to do? She uses it, the sharp end, to comb herself. To put her hair in two different parts. However, b'Shabbos manicha keneged padachta. On Shabbos, she's going to stick the sharp end into her hat, and she's going to place the gold end on the other side, and that's going to be a tachshis. That's going to be an ornament, and therefore we're going to be afraid that she'll show it to someone, and that would be the dinder and button that it would be usher to wear that on Shabbos, lest she come and show it to her friends and walk to all damas b'shus ram. Okay, continue the next mission over here. Now we're up to things that a man is not allowed to wear outside of his house. So says the Mishnah, lo yetze ha'ish b'sandal ha'mesumar. A man is not allowed to go outside on Shabbos with these type of spike sandals. As the Gemara is going to discuss the whole next Amud about this. Velo b'yachid. He's not allowed to walk out with only a single sandal on Shabbos, b'zman she'en b'rag l'maka, when there is no wound on his foot. Rashi gives two possible explanations why this would be usher. The first explanation Rashi says is a chamin we're concerned. People would be, it's like a mara sign that people are going to think you're carrying your other shoe and violating the iser hotzah. So that's the first one. Rashi quotes his rebbeim and he says that people are going to make fun of him. And he says they're going to make fun of him and that he's only wearing one and therefore he's going to be so embarrassed he's going to take it off and carry it and not look like he was just wearing one, but people would make fun of him. So that's the reason for the gzira. Then also where Mishnah continues, v'lo b'tefillin. You're also not allowed to go and wear a tefillin. The Gemara is going to discuss why this is. V'lo b'kamiyah b'zman shein b'na mumcha, and neither with an amulet when it's not from an expert. As we mentioned before, an amulet we're going to discuss that the Gemara is going to discuss is what's considered a mumcha and not, but if it's considered an expert, then it's part of the Shabbos. If it's not, then it's not proven, then it would be part of the iser of carrying. V'lo b'shiryon, you're not allowed to go with. The Gemara is going to discuss what is the shirion, v'lo b'kasta, v'lo b'megafayim. And all three things, Rashi says, these are malbush melchama, and the Gemara is going to discuss what exactly the definition of all three of these things are. V'im yatsa, if you go out wearing any of these, einu chayav chatas, because they are a malbush midaraisa, so then only midarabanan, we're assuming that there would be an iser to wear these items. Continues the Gemara now and asks, sandal amusmar ma'itaima, what is the reason someone's not allowed to go out with this spiked sandal on Shabbos? Amar Shmuel, so the Gemara says now, name Shmuel, Shalafi Akzira Hayu. There was one time a very bad gzira. So usually that times of the gzira is usually a lot of times is a reference to the gzira in the times of the Roman persecution of Hadrian specifically. That was a time of that led to the Bar Kokhba revolt where many thousand millions, almost I think more than a million Jews were killed. A very, very bad time. So Vehayu Nichbaim Bimara, and they were hiding in a cave. Amrun, they said together that people were hiding. Hanichnas Yichanis, anyone's coming in, there's a lot of come in. Vehotzal Yetzir, someone's, we don't want to be discovered over here. So no one's allowed to leave. Venefach Sandal Shalachar, and the sandal of one of them became reversed. And so when he came into the cave, that meant that he left, Rashi says, he left footprints. It looked like he was coming away from the cave. And what they think, they thought that one of these people who were hiding had actually left and was captured, and then they thought that the enemy had seen him, and now they're going to come and capture the cave. So in a panic, they were pushing each other, kicking each other, and they killed each other more than the enemies did. Another one quotes the second version of what happened, Rabbi Leib and Elazar Omer, Bima'ara, they were hiding in a cave. Vishamu called Mal Gabi Amara, and they heard a noise above the cave. And they mistakenly thought that the enemies were coming. They pushed each other. And they killed each other more than the enemies did. Again, this was what happened because of the sandals. So the Chachamim made a gzera on wearing them on Shabbos. Why would they make a gzera? So I should mention this before. Why would they make such a gzera at this thing? So apparently, we see that Chachamim sometimes will make a gzera to remember an event that happened. That something was it had a traumatic impression on Klal Yisrael. So the Chachamim felt the need to make an ordinance everyone should remember this would happen. Even though it's unlikely that this is going to happen again, Chazal want us to remember this. It's similar to why we have commemorating Shavasar B'Talmas and fast days and things like that. To commemorate the tragedies of the Befet Klal Yisrael, we commemorate what happened over here. The guy who stabbed himself. Why don't we have knives on the table during benching? A similar thing. To remember that the guy stabbed himself in how sad he was about Yerushalayim being destroyed. Also, we want to remember certain tragic events that should invoke with us something that happened that we should learn from that. So the Gemara says the third version of what happened over here. The Gemara says, Rami Bar Chama Bar Cheskel Amar, Bebeit HaKnesses HaYushven. They were learning in the shul. They were sitting in shul. V'shama kol Beit Mechor Beit HaKnesses. They heard noises behind the shul. Kasrona Shmuel and Oivin, and they thought that the enemies were coming to capture them. Dachu Zebazeh. So they pushed each other again. V'argu Yosem Yosem Shargu Ben Oivim. And they killed more people than the enemies actually were able to accomplish. Be'osu Shalmer. And therefore, the Chazal made a gzera. Ayetzi Adam Mesanam Mesumar. A person is not allowed to go out with this spiked sandal on Shabbos with these nails. So the Gemara says, Yihachidam Bechol Namilitzo. So if that's the whole idea about this, that there's a gzera is to remember what happened. So a person should never be allowed to go with spiked sandals. Remember the gzera, remember what happened. The Gemara says, "Ma'isik Yavah Shabbos." No, the incident happened Dafka on Shabbos, so therefore Chazal only prohibited it on Shabbos, similar to the circumstances which it happened. So the Gemara says, "If that's the case, then the Yomtiv Lishtere, so it should be mutter to wear these sandals on Yomtiv. Why should it be? It should be mutter on Yomtiv. There's no issue with wearing them on Yomtiv. Halam Atznan, but the Mishnah tells us that that's not the case. Well, usually you don't read parentheses, but here it just helps you understand the context of the. Of the Mishnah over here, in Beit, so the Gemara says, Mishalchan Kalim B'Yomtiv. They're allowed to send garments as a gift on Yomtiv. The general rule when it comes to Yomtiv is that something that's usable on Yomtiv, you're allowed to send as a gift. if it's allowed to be used on the day itself, bein tfurin, bein shein an tfurin, whether the garments are sewn or not sewn, aval lo sanda mesumar, but if someone's not allowed to send a spiked sandal, aval menel shein atof or biyontov, and not allowed an unsewn shoe on yontov. So this Mishnah shows us that since you're not allowed to send it, it means you're not allowed to wear it. So it's usher to wear it on yontov, but why should that be? If the gezira only happened on yontov, then you should assume that it should only be usher to wear this item on yontov and not on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, b'Shabbos my taima. What is the reason the Chacham said that it's usher to wear it on Shabbos? Ika kinufaya. That there's people gathering together. Biyomtiv namika kinufaya. That on Yantav also people are gathering together. Therefore, Chachamim extended the decree to say that it's Asra on Yantav as well. But the Gemara asks on this Tanya, Stibar ika kinufaya litzer. So, but that, if that's the case, when it comes to a fast day, on a fast day where people gather together, daven, they say slichos together, they come together on fast days, so why should it be mutter? Should it be Asra to wear this as well? There's a gathering, so we should remember this as well. So the Gemara says, no, maisik yave b'chnufaya d'isra. When did it happen? It happened on Shabbos when there is an Isra of doing malacha. Here, there's no issue whatsoever of working on a day of a fast day, so therefore, since gathering on fast days is not similar to the fact that you're gathering together on Yantiv, so therefore they did not extend the decree to, Tainus at all. Okay? So, the Chiddush HaRan just adds in, he says that on Shabbos and Yantiv, people also wanna have Hanah, you have the mitzvah of simple as Yantav and things like that. So Chaman said that if you're going to wear this, it's going to remind someone of the tragedy that happened, and therefore it's like going to ruin the happy day of the happy day of Shabbos and Yantav. When it comes to fasting, so it is a sad day. So if you remember this, okay, so you're increasing the sadness that you're supposed to be sad anyway. Okay, the Ran has an important heart. Now the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says, "Navafilu Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva." Even according to Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva, so we're going to bring a proof that even though Yantav is not the exact day which it happened, we still extended the gzira. The Gemara is going to extend that to the shita of Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva in a different context. What did he say? Damar lo asru ela biyardin v'sfina. He said that the Chaman didn't prohibit transporting the mechatas except when someone is crossing over Dafka, the Jordan River, and only when he's traveling by boat. So what in the world are we talking about over here? So Rashi says, the Gemara in Chagiga tells us that the Chachamim said that it's usher to transport mechatas, or the ashes for that matter, also of the Paraduma, across any body of water. Why? Because one time they were traveling and they found a kezayis min a mace, they found an olive worth of a mace that was on the bottom of the boat. So therefore they made a gzira that every time you're not allowed to go on a boat by carrying the mechatas, that it'll pass the mechatas because it's going to ruin it. So the Chachamim said that the decree applies to any body of water, any ocean, any river, anything like that. However, Rabbi Chanina, he says no. The Chazal only made the Gzera Dafka because of the case that happened. The case was Dafka by the Jordan River and by boat. So that would be the only case. So he's very limiting on his Gzera. So maybe you could taina that in our case, he would also say that maybe it should only apply on Shabbos and the Gzera shouldn't be applicable on Chol at all because it didn't happen on a Chol. So the Gemara says, again, so that was Chamaisa Haya, that it was the similar to, so again, so Delas Rabbi Yardin of Asfina, Chamaisa Haya, and also again, Chacham only issued this decree according to him because of what happened over there specifically. So Gemara says now, Hani Mile Diyardin Shaini Mishar Naharos, that, you can make that reason that Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva has the chiluk and says that there, we can say that the Gzera was limited to Dafka, the Jordan River, because the Jordan River is clearly different from other rivers. That someone can clearly differentiate between the Jordan River, Rashi says, and the other river, because it's unique. It has a different length, it has a different depth, it has different properties of a river. However, Yom Tov and Shabbos, we know that Yom Tov and Shabbos are very similar, so therefore you should make a Gzera. This nan ain't ben Yom Tov and Shabbos, Elchon Namash Bilvon. When it comes to the Malachas, we know that there's no difference. The punishments, Rashi points out, and tells us also, that we know that that you're still Chayiv Misa, and you're Chayiv only Alav for Yom Tov. But the fact that all these Surim apply, we know that all these terms apply except for cooking and the things that would be under that food preparation would be mitoch, would apply to that. But other than that, they're very similar, so therefore there'd be no reason to exclude Yantav because a person could very easily get confused, and therefore the Gzera should apply even to Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva, who in another context was very limiting on when Chazal made a Gzera based on things that happened. He would agree that here as well, there should be a Gzera. So the Gemara continues now, discussing the specifics of wearing these spiked nails. And where says, Amar Rav Yudah Mar Shmuel Loshana Ela L'Chazik, that the only time that there's such an issue to wear these sandals is where the nails are there to strengthen the sandal. That's the first of Elanoi Mutter. But if they're there only to make the sandals look nice, then it's going to be permitted to wear them. Why? Because when the incident in court actually points out, there was the purpose of strengthening the sandals. So therefore, that would be similar. But if you're wearing them as a nice to make the sandals nice, then be no issue at all. The kava the nice. So how many nails are put into the sandal to be considered the fact that you're making them nice? So the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chamech Bezeva Chamech Bezeva. Rabbi Yochanan says you are allowed to put 5 nails on this sandal and 5 nails on the other sandal, meaning 5 on each sandal. Rabbi Chanina Amar Sheva Bezeva Sheva Bezeva. Rabbi Yochanan says you're allowed to put 7 on each of these sandals. The Gemara says Amar Le Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Shimon Bar Arba Isabrilach. I'll explain to you why they each one held like they did. Ladidi, according to my shita, that 5 nails are permitted. It makes sense. Shtayim Mekan or Shtayim Mekan. 2 are placed on one side of the sandal and 2 are placed on the other side of the sandal. V'achas b'tarsiosev. And 1 of them is going to be where the strap, where you usually fasten the straps. They used to have like these type of straps on the sandals. Rabbi Chanina, according to Rabbi Chanina, who holds that 7 nails are permitted, Sholosh Mikan v'Sholosh Mikan. You put 3 on this side and 3 on the other side, v'achas b'tarsiosev, and 1 where the straps are. So the Gemara now questions Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara says, Meisive, they ask the Kashan Rabbi Yochanan from the following Graisa. Sandal on notel. If you have a sandal that is leaning on one side, Ose lo sheva, he's allowed to make 7 nails for it. Different Rabbi Nassan. Rabbi Nassan holds that you're allowed to have 7. Rabbi Matzer b'shlosh, Rabbi Mavetz, even up to have until 13 nails. Rabbi Shlom, Rabbi Chanina. So now according to Rabbi Chanina, I understand this brisa, because he has a shita in Tanaim that he can follow. Who's he going to follow? Udeo Kamarana, Rabbi Nassan. He's going to hold like Rabbi Nassan, who said you have up to sheva. However, Rabbi Yochanan, who says 5, command number, who is he coming like? We have no Tana in the brisa over here that allows that would agree that more than 5 nails are allowed on each sandal. So where do we see that? So the Gemara says, "Who d'amar Rabbi Norai?" No, he's going to hold like Rabbi Norai. In the following brisa, we find a brisa that does work for Shitas Rabbi Yochanan Desanya. The brisa tells us that what Rabbi Norai Omer, Rabbi Norai says, "Chamesh mutar, a sandal has 5 nails permitted, v'sheva aser, but a sandal has 7 nails prohibited." But we see the fact that he said that 5 is allowed. This would follow Shitas Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan found a shita in Tanai. So the Gemara now discusses how do we pass on this halacha. Amar lei Eifa l'Rava Bar Chana. Eifa said to Rabbi Chana, us and Talmidim Rabbi Yochanan, you guys are Talmidim Rabbi Yochanan, Avduk Rabbi Yochanan. You should pass like Rabbi Yochanan, who says that you're allowed only 5 nails on each sandal. However, Anand, Avduk Rabbi Yochanan, we are not Talmidim Rabbi Yochanan, we can follow Rabbi Chanina, who says even 7 on each nail is going to be permitted. So the Rach just points out, where does this interesting psak come? So the Rach points out, he thinks that everyone would agree that the halacha is like Rabbi Chanina, because he was considered a bigger Talmud Chacham, or whatever, he was bigger than Rabbi Yochanan, whatever respect that was. And then, however, the Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan, they were Talmidim of his, so they should follow his halacha, even if he's Machmir, because they were Talmidim, and they should accept the view of their Rabbi. Okay, interesting psak from the Rabbi Chanina. The Gemara continues now. The Gemara says, Ravuna asks from Ravashi, Chamesh Mo, if there are 5 nails in each sandal, what's going to be the halacha? Are you allowed to wear them on Shabbos or not? Amar Leih Ravashi, she said to him, Afilu Sheva Mutar, even a sandal that if you have 7 nails, it's going to be permitted. So Ravashi is saying that he is agreeing with Rav Nassan and Rav Chanina that we mentioned before. That's how Ravashi is paskening, supporting what we just said. So the Gemara says, Teishamai, what's the halacha if you have 9 sandals in each one of them? Amar Leih, Afilu Shmona Asur. No, even a sandal that has 8 nails is going to be prohibited. So okay, so therefore, the maximum according to him is, the maximum is going to be, according to him, is going to be 7. So the Gemara continues, by Mineahu, Ratzan, and Rabbi Ami. There was a shoemaker who asked the question from Ravami, Tafru mibifnim ma. If someone sewed a shoe onto the inside of the sandal, is it going to be permitted to wear these on Shabbos or not? So the Gemara says, Amar lei mutter. He says it's mutter, v'lo yadana mai tama. I don't know the reason why he said it was mutter. So it says, Amar Ravashi, what was the question? Why didn't you know why he said it was mutter? Why didn't Rabbi Yochanan say that it was mutter? Because v'lo yadana mai tama came under tafru mibifnim havilei minal. Since the shoe is now sewn onto the inside, it's considered, we view the whole thing now as a shoe, not like a sandal. So therefore, it's going to be permitted. B'sandal, gzara b'rabbana. We only see that there's a decree, Medrash Rabbanan, say that this is usher only by what? Only by a sandal. However, b'mino lo gzara b'rabbana. Here, we're not talking about a sandal. So therefore, we're going to assume that the decree doesn't apply, and there's no gzara by a shoe. So the Gemara says, boy, mine Rabbi Amar, Zadim Rabbi Amar, B'chanin. Again, similar halachas with regards to the specifics of this shoe. Azukimin kalbusma. If you shape them like these type of tongues, so he had like tube sharp heads to it. So in it's gonna be like looking like tongues. Is it halacha? Is it allowed to wear this type of sandal? Not Amar Leih. So Abba Bar Chanina replied to him, Mutter. It's going to be permitted to wear this in this situation. Itmar Nami Amar Yosef Bar Chanina Asuk him in Kalvus Mutter. If he shaped each nail like tongues, it's going to be permitted to wear the sandal on Shabbos. Okay. So the Gemara continues now. The Gemara says, Amar of Sheshes, or Sheshes says, Chipal Kula v'masparos, if he covered the entire sole of the sandal with nails, Kadesh lo tek harkak al chaz, in order that when you're walking and it shouldn't be ruined by the ground, mutter, wearing that would be permitted. Why? Because in this case, the nails and the sandal aren't serving the same purpose of strengthening the sandal that the nails, that the chazal said were usher did. So therefore, according to him, this sandal is not going to be usher, according to Rav Sheshes. And Mar says now, Tanya, Kavase de Rav Sheshes. We have a brayso that follows Rav Sheshes. How do we know this? The Leitze Ish B'Sandal Mesumar. A person not allowed to go on Shabbos wearing a spiked sandal Shabbos. Also, you're not even allowed to walk within house to house within them, not just in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Okay, afilo bita vita, not even that, even walking from one bit to another within the same house is going to be aser. However, you're allowed to take it, to cover it, a utensil with it. It's not like mukta, mita, and osir to help support the legs of a bed. But David Rabbi Lezer B'Shimon, osir Rabbi Lezer B'Shimon, this is osir as well. Nashurov mismar osav, if a majority of the sandals' nails have fallen off, and ishtaya b'arba chamesh, and only four or five nails are still there, then mutter, then it's going to be permitted to wear this sandals. Gemara is going to analyze this part later. Rabbi Matir ad shav, Rabbi permits wearing it up to seven. Chipel b'orba lamata, if you covered the part of the sole underneath with leather, and then he put nails in the upper section of this shoe, mutter, it's going to be permitted to wear this. Why? Because the sandal is going to be differently, very different, looks different than the sandal that the Chazal said is aser. Also, kamin, kalbus, if you had shaped each one like tongs, oh, kamin, tas, or like they're like a bar, or like some sort of a platter, or if you cover them with nails, the sole with nails, so that it doesn't get ruined by the ground, mutter, so that's going to be permitted to wear it. That final halacha that we just see supports Rav Sheshes. That's the raya that Rav Sheshes is correct from the Braisa. So the Gemara just points it out, once we quote the Braisa, the Gemara notes that there's a seemingly stira between the Braisa, there's a contradiction. The Braisa itself, it doesn't make sense. You say that a majority of its nails falling out, it's going to mutter to wear it. Alpha gav deshar beituva. Even though if there are many nails on that, that's what it implies. As long as less than half the original amount of nails, it's mutter to wear this in Shabbos for other tanya. But then the Braisa teaches right after that arba chamish in that only four or five nails is going to be mutter. However, tefelo, if you have more than that, it's going to be usher. So the Gemara, the Braisa doesn't make sense. The Gemara says, "She's a little kasha." No, there's no difficulty within the Braisa. Kansha Gemara, when the Braisa says that even if you have many nails are permitted, when is that? That's in when the nails are worn down to the point where they're at the same level as where the sole of the shoe is. In that situation, it's clear that the sandal originally contained more and more nails, then it's not going to be usur. Kanchinekru, however, here, when the nails are completely removed, then there's no visible indication that there were ever more nails there, therefore it would be usur if you don't have four or five. So the Gemara now says, the Gemara continues analyzing Arba Chamesh. Gemara says Arba Chamesh Mutter. So Hashtag Chamesh Arba. Now, if you tell me that five are Mutter, Arba Mai, then why do you have to tell me that four are Mutter? Obviously, Kol Shekin, four are going to be Mutter. So says the Gemara, Arba Chista, Arba Misal Katan. The Braisa means to tell you that four nails are going to remain from a small sand of a Chamesh on a Gadol, and five remain from a large one. So that's a Chiddush, small and big. Rabbi Matar at Shiva. Rabbi permits you to have up to seven nails on each of them. Gemara says, Tanya, Rabbi Matar at Shlosha. The Braisa tells us, Rabbi says, up to 13 nails. Which is it? 7 or 13? The Gemara says, note the Shani, that when it comes to a sandal that's leaning on one side, it's going to be different because the extra nails are needed to give it to help out to even out the sole. So therefore, according to Rebbe, then it is going to be mutter with a bigger number. So the Gemara says, Hashtag, once you come onto that you can have a bigger number, it's going to make it mutter. Rabbi Yochanan, Nami Lokash, Rabbi Yochanan, and the Braisa before that said both the number at least seven nails. That's also not a kasha because you answer, note the Shani, you could answer that he could say also that when a sandal is leaning, it's different, and that would therefore allow you to have seven nails in each case. Okay, the Gemara continues now. The Gemara says, "Amar of Masnav, Amar Leir, Amar Vachla, Amar Masnav, Amar Vachla." In Alacha, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon. The Alacha doesn't follow Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon. Rather, it's going to follow the Tanakhama, who said before that a sandal is allowed to be moved for purposes on Shabbos. The Gemara says, "Pshita, that's obvious." Yachid, Rabbi Alacha, Rabbi. Why would you think that we'd follow Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon? We have a principle. When you have a majority wins. Rove, we go after Rove. Hochin Chay Rove. When it comes to these psakim, so the Gemara says, "Ma the Timano." Here, I would have thought, Mistava, time of Rabbi Lazar, that the reason for Rabbi Lazar makes a lot of sense. He has a very good svara. His svara is that if a person is going to come to carry it, then he's going to come to obviously wear it. So therefore, it makes sense to follow him. Kamash Malan, that even in this situation, we don't follow the Yachid, we follow the Rabbim. So the Mara says, Amram Chia, Ilav the Karli Bavlai Shari Sura. If people didn't call me the guy from Bavl who always permits things that are Usar, Sharlai Beituva, I would even permit someone to have a spike nails that have many nails in it. So Gemara now asks, Kama, how many nails would you say this, Mutter? So Gemara says, Rapuzisa Aminon Esrim Varban. Pupuzisa, they said, Rabbi Chia would allow even 24 nails in each sandal. But Sura Aminon Esrim Vatarte, and Sura they would say up to 22 nails in each sandal. Now the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Nachman, Yitzchak, V'simanach, wait on a mnemonic to remember this." Ad Asur Pupadisa L'Sura Chaser Tarte. When you go from Pupadisa Zero, if you're traveling, Rav Chia used to travel from Bava Tarte Israel. If you go there from Pupadisa Zero, so he's going to take away two, and then if you're taking away two, you're going to left from 24 to 22. Okay, we'll pick up from here. Mitzvah Shem tomorrow.